after the produced by PI Media epidemic started, people spend much more time at home.
You know, Nate, it's getting late. Wanna watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. Just let me get in my PJs. What are you thinking?
I've got Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants on DVD.
I'll make the popcorn.
Weird. Nate, would you stop playing with the lights, please?
Me? I thought that was you.
Communicable disease.
Nate? What's going on?
Organisms are I don't so know.
Small, but they can't be seen even at the most...
After the COVID-19 epidemic started, people spend much more time at home.
You're listening to Oded Vanunu of Checkpoint Research, speaking to Nate Nelson, our senior producer.
Following our researches, we saw that many of the attacks shifted from corporate, from enterprises, into the houses.
Hackers are an enterprising bunch. With everybody stuck at home during a pandemic, they're increasingly looking for ways to hit us where we are. Those who were attacking corporate IT networks and office computers before have recently been turning their attention to our Zoom conference calls and the computers you have in your bedroom.
So we started to look for what risks might be in global houses around the world that can help bad actors to penetrate or to steal private information.
There are plenty of ways to get hacked without taking a step outside. There's your laptop or desktop, obviously, your smartphone, tablets, even a TV or game system. But there's one device which stands above them all as being particularly inescapably dangerous to your personal security and privacy in your own home. Welcome to the Checkpoint Research Podcast. I'm Ran Levy. In this, the third part of our mini-series, we're talking about products and services with hundreds of millions, even billions of users, and utterly game-breaking security exploits. We'll be going into detail step by step to show you how the biggest apps in the world can be brought to their knees. We've talked about TikTok and Instagram, and so we continue here with our third and final victim, the Amazon Echo.
Virtual assistants, this is the name.
Depending on how you look at it, a virtual assistant is one of two things. If you're an optimist, it is that futuristic cyber toy that people only used to have in the movies.
The business logic behind Alexa is just that you are talking with him, like giving orders. Alexa, what is the weather? Alexa, pay with PayPal. Alexa, order this from eBay or from Amazon. And in addition, there is a lot of functionality that allows Alexa to provide you very rich aspects or very rich actions that you can do from your daily base action, and you can automate everything.
For skeptics, Alexa and other virtual assistants are veritable spying devices, a way to bug your own living room for the cost of $100.
If you think about it from a cybercrime perspective, this is like a spyware device that's listening, that can record, that can connect outside. I would say it's like this is the thing that you want to hack if you want to get very private information.
Virtual assistants are programmed to activate only when they hear a particular phrase. For Google Home, for example, it's Hey Google. With Amazon's Echo, it's just Alexa. But an activation phrase isn't much of a security measure. Depending on your accent, a checkup or a doodle might sound a lot like Alexa or Hey Google to a device that has trouble with context. Besides accidentally turning on the device, there's other people. They can activate your Alexa just as easily as you can if they're near enough to it. And in April of 2017, a hacker managed to figure out how to activate your Google Home no matter where you are in the world. That's right, this hacker could turn on your device whether it was located in New York or Tucson, Arizona. Who was this ingenious hacker? Burger King. In a 15-second ad spot during Jimmy Kimmel Live, a man in a Burger King uniform holding a large cheeseburger speaks directly to the camera. He begins, "You're watching a 15-second Burger King ad, which is unfortunately not enough time to explain all the fresh ingredients in the Whopper sandwich. But I've got an idea." The actor beckons to the cameraman, who brings the camera closer. "Okay, Google," he says. "What is the Whopper burger?" The ad was ingenious. Every Google Home device placed near enough to somebody watching that TV channel picked up on the activation phrase. The advertisement ended, but all across America, Google Homes began reciting the Whopper ingredients. But it only got better from there. When some enterprising internet users realized the Google Home was getting its information from Wikipedia, they decided to get in on the game. As the commercial ran across America, editors changed the Whopper's Wikipedia page. The advertisement continued to run. This time, when Google Homes activated in living rooms throughout the country, they yielded new results. Quote, "The Whopper is a burger consisting of a flame-grilled patty made with 100% medium-sized child, with no preservatives or fillers, topped with sliced tomatoes, onions, lettuce, cyanide, pickles, ketchup, and mayonnaise, served on a sesame bead bun." End quote. Here is a thought. If Burger King can hack thousands of virtual assistants all at once, how hard would it be for a real hacker to crack just one at a time?
Our goal on this research was to understand if bad actors can break the security of Alexa and take control over the device remotely.
Before we can design a virtual assistant hack, we first have to understand how these devices operate. For the Amazon Echo, it all starts with what are called skills.
Amazon Alexa, they build a marketplace, like app stores for Alexa. And each application refers to skill.
A skill to an Amazon virtual assistant is like an app on your phone.
It's something that provides Alexa functionality. So if, for example, Microsoft would like to have a skill inside Alexa, they will create application that provide functionality to Microsoft, what we call domain. So users can activate Microsoft application and do things on Microsoft domain.
If you want your Alexa to read you your schedule for the day, every day when you wake up, you've got to install a skill for that. If you want it to be able to play Tchaikovsky, you download a Spotify or Pandora skill.
Skills of weather, skill of retail companies, like Target can be, it can be like for FedEx, for UPS, for a lot of industries that you perform actions through your mobile device.
What's great about skills is that they don't all come from Amazon.
So they created very amazing ID. They created the hardware, they provided the connectivity, they provided the marketplace, and they told the community, now everyone can create skills. It's like they bring the power to the people to create skills.
Because anyone can program skills, anyone with the motive to do so can add real value to the whole community of Echo users.
And from bad actor perspective, it means that maybe I can install some kind of malicious skill to take over the entire device, and that's it. And then I can do anything, and I can perform many actions on behalf of the user without the user to know.
In order to install a malicious skill, a hacker first needs a way into the system. Cracking an Echo account, it turns out, is a lot like cracking a TikTok account. If you listen to the episode we did about TikTok, you'll know how it goes. It begins with the attacker finding a vulnerable subdomain in the Amazon network, a server into which the attacker can inject his or her own code. One such vulnerable subdomain, which Oded and his colleagues found, was track.amazon.com, a subdomain normally used for tracking Amazon's packages. The attacker can then leverage their access to the vulnerable subdomain to craft an email or a message via social media to an Echo user, which would look completely legitimate, as if it came from Amazon itself.
For example, user can get some kind of message coming from Amazon regarding on some kind of sales. That user getting a link from Amazon, which is a trusted, and this user, once he click this link that coming from Amazon, which is a winning, because everyone will click on URL that coming from Amazon domain. Once the user click on this Amazon domain, it start a trigger exploitation that take control on your Alexa devices and start take control on the skills of Alexa.
To be clear here, the user isn't getting a link which appears like it's coming from Amazon. It's coming from Amazon, or at least Amazon's identity. The attacker doesn't have to forge fake lookalike domain, like taking out a letter from the word Amazon or replacing .com with .co, from which to send the phishing email, because he controls an actual authentic one. Who would think twice about clicking on such an email? Once the user clicks on the malicious link, a request is sent to track.amazon.com. But it's not an ordinary HTTP request. It's a deliberately malformed request that causes the server to return an error message. Due to a misconfiguration on Amazon's side, this error message can contain actual executable code that now runs silently inside the user's browser. This malicious code sends a request to Amazon's skills store, the servers handling the skills installed on the user's Echo device, asking for a full list of all the skills installed on the device. Now, normally, such a request should be blocked by the skill store. This is due to a security mechanism called CORS, short for Cross-Origin Resource Sharing. CORS' job is to prevent scripts originating from one domain, track.amazon.com in our case, from accessing information or executing code on another domain, such as skillstore.amazon.com. CORS is a very important security mechanism. Without it, every website that we visit could have run scripts on our browser making requests to other websites, such as our bank's website, on our behalf. In this case, however, the CORS mechanism on Amazon's servers was misconfigured, which allowed the request initiated by the malicious script to go through and be processed by the skills store. When the skills store sends back the list of skills installed on the Echo, it also sends back one crucial piece of information, a string of random characters known as a CSRF token. This CSRF token is what identifies the user to Amazon's servers and allows the attacker to perform actions such as installing and enabling new skills for the victim remotely. The malicious script captures this CSRF token, and from here, the hard work is over. The hacker can uninstall skills, install his own, or even better, modify existing ones.
Malicious skill can be a skill, for example, that will replace the weather skill. And every time that you will say, hey, Alexa, what is the weather? It will tell you what is the weather, but will also start record you or open camera or will pull all the history of the voice commands.
For the victim, there's no telling what's going on until it's too late.
From the user perspective, this is a seamless attack. We call it one-click attack. It means that the user will not understand that these things happen behind the scene.
I see. So basically, once I click the link, everything is invisible to me. I don't see anything.
No, you don't see anything. Alexa, as a product, it's a hardware device. It's a computer, basically, that has very cutting-edge technologies, which allows him to, first of all, to connect into your network as a basic step, and then from your network it connects to Amazon infrastructure, where there is the heart and the engines of all this device. And then the users start to install skills. This is the logic. And in addition, there are many electronic devices like lamps, like smart houses devices, like TV, lights, oven, smoke detector. And of course, all the communication and everything is managed into Amazon cloud services.
The entire reason to own a virtual assistant is that it can connect to all kinds of areas of your life and do all kinds of things for you. There's no use in owning one if you won't let it connect with your Wi-Fi, your online shopping account, the lights in your house. But it's for this very reason that an Alexa hack is so dangerous. We're not worried about the hacker compromising one device. We're worried that the hacker can use that one device to hack into many.
It can be a camera, it can be the Wi-Fi, it can be the refrigerators today, it can be the door locks, it can be the lights in your house. Everything today is connected. So this is a repository of electronic assets that you control. Once you have access to Alexa, it means that you can control all the assets repositories because you have a permission. So it's all a matter of how much the attacker wants to invest.
For skeptical people, Alexa and other virtual assistants are veritable spying devices, a perfect avenue to allow a company or a hacker to control all your digital and physical assets too. But for the more optimistic among us, these futuristic toys are the future. They're convenient, cool, something we've been waiting for ever since we watched sci-fi movies as kids.
Smart devices will continue to grow. And of course, the automation of smart devices will be required. This is why virtual assistants are a huge part on our daily life, especially in America, where there is the install base is much bigger. Alexa has 200 million devices around the world, which is big.
200 million people around the world right now have Alexa in their living rooms, their bedrooms, their children's bedrooms. And that's not even counting Google Home.
In addition, we are today in around the world in a situation that almost everyone is under lockdown or everyone is at home. So today you are like 24 hours at home. So it means that these devices especially virtual assistant devices that actually can record everything or record everything, can be a big danger for privacy.
One last question, Oded. Do you personally own a virtual assistant?
No, I don't.
I'm getting out of here.
Don't forget the popcorn.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. For past episodes, visit Checkpoint's research blog at research.checkpoint.com, and you can follow Checkpoint Research on Twitter or follow me at @ranlevy. That's @RANLEVI. CP Radio is produced by PI Media, written by Nate Nilsson, produced by Guy B. Noon, and edited and narrated by me, Ran Levy. See you next episode. Bye-bye.